Thank you so much, Kim. Mark chapter 15, if you would, please. Mark chapter number 15. We've been looking at the life of Peter as we come to this day in which we honor mothers specifically. I thought, well, it'd kind of be interesting to look at the women that were a part of the ministry of Jesus. And my first question as I began to think about this was, I wonder if there will be enough material to preach a message. I can tell you, I don't think I'm exaggerating. I believe I could probably teach 10 to 12. There's that much. Matter of fact, the influence of the women on the gospel could not be overstated. It is enormous. Let me give you just one passage of scripture this morning, and then I'll give you some introductory remarks. Then we'll look at another number of women this morning. Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. This is at the crucifixion. It says, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome. Also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. And many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. There were a lot of women that impacted the gospel in enormous ways. Women have impact in lives all over the place. When future President Abraham Lincoln was just 9 years old, his mother Nancy died after drinking milk from a cow that had eaten a poisonous plant. Though she had only 9 years in which to impact his life, she used them well. Later, Lincoln would say, all that I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. But it was not just in her teaching that she touched his life. Lincoln also said, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. In contrast to the good example set by Nancy Lincoln, consider another mother. She was angry and abusive toward her youngest son. When classmates teased him, calling him Ozzy Rabbit because he had big ears and he was small, she told her son they were right. The boy's older brother later said, we learned very early that we were a burden. She wanted to be free of the responsibility. That boy, Lee Harvey Oswald, became a household name when he assassinated President Kennedy. The influence of women specifically, as I've already said, could not be overstated. Time this morning would not permit us to discuss all the women that impacted the gospel story in some way. This morning we don't have time to deal with Mary, the mother of James the Less, or Joseph, or Susanna, or Mary, the wife of Cleopas, or Mary, Martha's sister, Pilate's wife, and other women that are mentioned both in Acts, Mark, and Luke. We also don't have time to discuss the many women in Acts in the early church, such as Priscilla, and Lois, and Eunice, and Philip's daughters, Dorcas, Euodia, Syntyche, and those all mentioned in Romans chapter 16, just to name a few. It's enormous in the Word of God. It was Jesus that said on his way to Calvary, two women, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. This morning, I'd like for us to look at five ladies and point out just one characteristic from their lives. In many cases, they all exemplified all of them, or at least they certainly exemplified more than one. But for the sake of time, we'll just take a look at one and make it applicable to our hearts and lives. And as we look at these stories today, I think here's a central thought I'd like for us to see. We must realize that no matter your social status, or really any status, you can impact others through your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to preach your word this morning. Lord, we pray that you would remove the distractions and all the things that can inhibit the word. We pray that there would be a clarity of speech and a clarity of hearing, and that your word would impact lives this morning. We need you so desperately. Thank you, Lord, for the influence of women, even to this day, in the life of the gospel. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. First off, I think it would be wrong for us not to start with a woman that influenced the gospel incredibly, and that would be Mary, Jesus' mother. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to do a lot of turning this morning. So if you'll bear with me, Luke chapter number 1, verses 35 through 38. We don't have time to deal with every passage of Scripture that mentions all of these women, but we'll take just a few of them. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, this was the angel coming to Mary, telling her that she's going to be with child. She would be carrying the Messiah. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary, the mother of Jesus, I believe Mary demonstrates for us a submissive spirit. A submissive spirit. This word handmaid here means a slave or a bondmaid. It's actually the feminine form of the word doulos, which we get the word servant from. It means one who gives himself to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among others, among men. Mary said, I'm your servant, your handmaid. Do whatever it is that you want done. It's amazing when we really look through all that Mary had to do. In John chapter 19 and verse 25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Sometimes we forget the fact that what happened on the cross was a physical trauma to Mary and an emotional trauma to her as well. Yes, Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the world on that cross. But Mary at that moment was a mother looking at her son and all that he endured, she as a mom. We somehow tend to move away from the fact, well, he was God and so forth and so on, but she wasn't. She was a mother. All of you that are moms in here, when do you cease being a mama? Can I tell you, my mama still hadn't ceased to be a mama. She says things to me all the time. Are you getting enough rest? When you plan to rest? What about this? What about that? You know, because you don't ever cease to be that. She didn't either. She endured questions, ridicule, deep pain and sorrow. We know that if they said to Jesus, we be not born of fornication, the implication is that Mary was a woman of ill repute. And I believe she carried that until her grave. Did she understand all of that at the point? I think she probably at least understood some of it. But how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? What about all this? And that the questions and the ridicule and all the things that would have stayed with her, and yet she was submissive to the will of the Savior. She had at least six other children after Jesus was born. Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. By the way, at the time of the crucifixion, it appeared that those children were going to reject Jesus Christ as Savior. We know that that ultimately didn't take place. Some of them at least accepted him as their Savior. She, of course, appears at the beginning of the gospel. She, the birth story of our Lord. We see her again momentarily when he is 12 years old at the temple. We see her at the beginning of his ministry, the marriage feast of Canaan, when she says, do whatever he says to you. Sometime within his ministry, we see her again when the people say, thy mother and brethren wish to speak unto thee. And then we see her once again at the cross, watching her son suffer and die for the sins of the whole world. But that's not the last time we see her. According to Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, we see her also in the upper room. When a new church was going to be formulated, and the New Testament was going to take on a whole new meaning, and the New Covenant was going to take on a whole new meaning, and all that was taking place there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. It's important to note as we think about Mary this morning that she needed a Savior just as any other sinner did. She herself, in the same passage in Luke chapter 1 in verses 46 and 47, says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, that is my Master, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, my Deliverer." You say, "Pastor, explain, how was he her child and her Lord and Master at the same time?" When you can explain that, you can explain how Jesus was fully God and fully man. I can just tell you that's what it was. The Bible tells us so. No matter what it cost Mary, she submitted to God's will for her life. She submitted to it. What an incredible testimony. Are you submissive to what God wants for you this morning? Just submit to whatever He wants us to do, whatever the task may be for us, whatever difficulty that may bring upon us. Are we willing to submit? Mary demonstrates to us submissiveness. But number two, we look at the lady Mary Magdalene. And I think Mary Magdalene demonstrates for us salvation. It seems every time we mention Mary Magdalene's name, many times it points back to one specific fact about her life. Whom Jesus cast out 7 demons. Seems to keep going back to this particular Mary Magdalene. By the way, if you read the gospel stories, you figure out Mary was a pretty popular name during these times. Over and over and over again, that name is mentioned. Matter of fact, some believe that Mary's sister was named Mary. That's kind of unusual, but that's how popular apparently the name was during that time. Mary Magdalene is called this because she lived in a village that bore the name of Magdala. Many Greeks particularly lived in this village, and the town had a very worldly Hellenistic culture, if you will, a Greek culture. This was quite different from the traditionalist conservative village like Nazareth, for instance, where Jesus would have been reared. Remains of this ancient village still exist today. They were eventually uncovered about 2 kilometers from a modern village called Migdal Nuna, meaning fish tower, right around the Sea of Galilee. This little village particularly was destroyed in the Arab-Israeli War, but the remains of her city are still there. Number of interesting facts about her. As we've already said, she had demons cast out of her. That is mentioned on multiple occasions in Scripture. And Mark chapter 16 and verse 9 says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." I think that's very interesting. "Out of whom he had cast 7 devils." Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, one of whom went 7 devils." And that emphasis of Mary's a drastically different person than she used to be. What a wonderful privilege that is. She, along with some of the other ladies, must have had some money, some wealth to them as they supported Jesus in his ministry. We'll get in a little bit to Joanna. But Luke chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusai, Herod's steward," all these things are important, we'll get to some of this in just a minute, "and Susanna, and many others, meaning many other women, which ministered unto him," Jesus, "of their substance." That word substance means their wealth and so forth. So apparently many of these women traveled with Jesus and, among other things, provided monetarily for the disciples to continue on their ministry. Very interesting that she would able to give that way. She was the first to learn of the resurrection. Love this story. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, if you would, please. Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word again. Wonderful truth. It's also mentioned in Mark chapter 16 and Luke chapter number 24. In one of the passages, it talks about Mary Magdalene specifically hearing of Jesus and he talking to her specifically. The changed life that Mary demonstrated is evident to all those who are truly saved. She was a woman that had seven demons, that Jesus cast them out of there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is your life new this morning? Maybe you're not demon-possessed this morning or have been, but can I tell you that if your life is truly in Christ, it's going to be changed? See, all these women that surrounded the gospel, whether they were there ministering to Jesus on a day-by-day basis or whether they were at the foot of the cross ministering to the people around and observing all that was taking place, these ladies understood that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to die on that cross to save the sins of all the world, to die there for us. Mary understood that. His mother, Mary Magdalene, understood that. She needed a changed life principle. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has your life changed since you were saved, born again, transformed? How is it still changing? Can you look at this week and show how God changed you this week? I learned this from God's Word. I made this application. So we see Mary, Jesus' mother, she demonstrated to us surrender. Mary Magdalene demonstrated to us salvation, that she was saved. Let's look at Joanna. Luke chapter 8, if you would please. Luke chapter number 8. Joanna. And I believe Joanna demonstrates for us stewardship, or a steward. In fact, it's interesting how Joanna is involved in the story and what her husband's title was. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and 12 were with him. So these disciples observed and understood all these ladies as well. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered to him of their substance. The name Joanna means Jehovah is a gracious giver. I like that name. Jehovah is a gracious giver. She was the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward. She understood the idea of stewardship and used her resources apparently to support Jesus monetarily. Again, that word substance means a possessions or goods or wealth or property. Being that high up, she was probably a lady of wealth. She certainly would have been a part of the upper class, would have had some risk of being involved with Jesus. Herod was not exactly friendly towards Jesus Christ and the Jews specifically. This was an important point as far as Luke was concerned. One of the purposes that he had in writing the gospel was to make Jesus acceptable to a wide audience, including the Gentile population of the Roman Empire. At the time Luke recorded the stories, everyone knew that Jesus had been executed as a criminal by the Romans. Many people in the first century Rome would find it difficult to reconcile this fact with the belief that he was the Son of God. So Luke took pains to show that Jesus was supported by well-connected, law-abiding people during his life. These weren't just miscellaneous people, but they were well connected in high places of government and so forth, and they were law-abiding people. Luke used that to demonstrate who Jesus really was. She was a part of the detail that was planning to properly bury Jesus in Luke chapter 23 and verses 55 and 56, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. These spices and ointments could have been very costly. And that's part of the reason why I believe several of these women probably were women of wealth. As a matter of fact, in Josephus' Antiquity of the Jews, he said, historical records show that the more respected an individual was, the larger the quantity of those costly materials used in the burial preparation. Josephus records that 40 pounds of spices were used at the funeral of the highly respected Elder Gamaliel. These would have been very, very costly for these ladies to put together. Of course, they did that, and then we're going to come back on the first day of the week and give a proper burial to Jesus, who wasn't there. Amen. When they got there with all of these spices. She was part of the original ladies that reported the resurrection to the disciples, even though at the time the disciples called it nonsense or idle tales. Remember, when they get back to them, they say, "He's risen, he's risen." And they're like, oh, they speak unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Finally, Peter and John decides, you know, maybe we'll just run to the sepulchre and see for ourselves. Yeah, maybe you should. Because guess what? He wasn't there, just like the lady said so. Joanna was a part of that. She certainly used her resources to advance the gospel. Again, a powerful illustration of a woman who took what she had and used it for Jesus, though that could have cost her dearly. And here her husband is the steward of the house of Herod. You think about the wickedness of that family and all that it potentially meant for her, risking her husband's position, and yet she did so. Are you using what you have to advance the gospel? How did you steward this week your time, your talents, your treasure, the trust that God has given us, our four themes of the year? How did you steward those this week? We see number four, Martha. Martha. Luke chapter 10, if you would please, and all of you can probably guess what we're going to talk about Martha. Luke chapter 10 in verse 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. John makes the connection that this Mary is the same Mary who anointed his feet and so forth. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Turn with me, if you would please, to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. We'll see again. This was right after the raising of Lazarus. Of course, Mary and Martha, Lazarus, were brother and sisters. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of ointment. It is possible that this Martha, who loved to serve, and that's the S that we're going to look at, service, it's possible that she was the widow of Simon the leper. It's very interesting. I wish we could take you the connection in Scripture this morning, but it appears that she was. If she wasn't his widow, then she certainly was connected to him close enough, either in relation or friendship, that she was in the house and anointed Jesus with oil. There's two different occasions, apparently, that she did this for him. The story of the anointing with oil is found also in Matthew 26 and Mark chapter 14. And, of course, John makes the connection here in John chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. He makes some of the connection for them eventually. This word for serve here is the word translated deacon in other places. It means that to be a servant or an attendant, to minister to one. It also can mean to wait on a table, This was something Martha loved to do. But as we think about Martha in her service, and from this story, let's just look at quickly a couple of points that we need to understand about service. Number one, service can't replace fellowship with the Lord. Martha loved to serve, and Jesus said to her, Martha, be careful. Mary's chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. Mary, Martha, there's sometimes, yes, it's good to serve, but there's sometimes you just need to fellowship with me. And Mary has chosen that. Service can't replace fellowship with the Lord. But number two, service can lead to a complaining spirit. Sometimes the people who do a lot of serving get on the other people who don't do so much serving, and that can lead to a complaining spirit. Be careful. Number three, just because God has gifted you in that area doesn't mean everyone should respond the same way. Maybe God specifically gifted you to serve in that particular way, and you want everybody else to serve in that particular way, but if everybody else was serving, there wouldn't be anybody to do the other things. And we got to recognize that as we look at this story. And then the fourth truth I think we can see from that is different people show love differently. Martha, by serving a meal. Mary, by anointing Jesus with oil. And it's important that we allow those folks to demonstrate that kind of love the way God wanted them to. She used her talents, yes, to serve Jesus, but needed to learn to spend more time with him as well. How did you serve God this week? How did you serve him this week? How did you spend time with him and demonstrating to him what a precious truth it is to be able to connect with him? Lastly, look at Mark chapter number 15, if you would, please. Mark chapter number 15. And the passage we began with this morning. We've already read that. We're going to look this morning, lastly, at Salome, this lady, mother of James and John, Zebedee's children. She was an interesting lady for sure. And I have demonstrated from her life, I think, that of sacrifice. Sacrifice. You say, well, what exactly did she sacrifice? What big deal did she have? We'll get to that at the end here in just a moment. But her name only appears in the book of Mark. She may very well be the sister of Mary, Jesus' mother. We don't know for sure, but there's some evidence that points to that. She certainly was at the cross on the day of the crucifixion. We know that she was there. Matthew chapter 27, verse 55 and 56 tells us as well. She ministered to Jesus during his earthly ministry. Verse 41 of Mark chapter 15 tells us that. So she traveled with him and was part of these women that continuously ministered to him. She was the one of the women also that came to properly bury Jesus, according to Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. She was one of those devoted women that came, was part of the mixing of those embalming fluids, if you will, to properly bury Jesus. She sacrificed much for the gospel. You say, well, yeah, but she also asked for her sons to sit on the right hand and left hand of the kingdom. I understand. But can I tell you, what mother doesn't want something like that for her kids? What mother doesn't want to see her children aspire to something great? And Jesus said, are your sons willing to sacrifice what they need to? And Jesus said, indeed they will. You say, well, what great sacrifice did she have? Well, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 2, one of her sons would be an early martyr of the church. That's a pretty big sacrifice, wouldn't you say? An early martyr of the church. She sacrificed much for the gospel, including the life of one of her sons. What are you willing to sacrifice for the gospel today? What are you willing to sacrifice? You know what's interesting as we look at these five women particularly? These ladies were a mix of social status. Some of them were simple fishermen's wives. Some of them were used to upper living in the Roman government. Some were outcasts of society and had demons possess them. But they banded together to serve their Savior. They were saved, surrendered, serving, sacrificial, and stewarded what God gave them for the cause of Christ. Matter of fact, some of them may have been Gentile. We don't know for sure. Some of them may have been Gentile even as they began this process. How can you be used of God? Where else can you blend those with doctorate degrees with others who barely have a GED? Where do you bring people from all over the world around a central theme? Where do people of different financial levels meet and fellowship together? Where do single moms and single people and married young marrieds and older marrieds and widows and others meet together? I can tell you where that happens. It's around the gospel. It's around the gospel. All different backgrounds, different educational levels, different stories of how God brought us to the gospel, and yet we centralize and gather around the precious truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people make the accusation that the gospel, according to the Word of God, degrades women. Can I tell you, wherever the true gospel has gone, women's status has been elevated, not degraded. It has been massively uplifted. Now, it's interesting. We don't even have time this morning. I wish there was a lot more we could say. But there's purposeful things that I think our Lord did, specific testimonial things that our Lord did of His resurrection. Do you realize that it was very much against code, if you will, against norms of that day, for the first witness of a resurrection to be a woman? Matter of fact, in those days, a woman's testimony, it took 2 to 3 women to equal one man's testimony because they considered them lower class people. You know what I think our God was doing? He was lifting women to where they needed to be. You cannot overstate how these ladies impacted the gospel. We don't know, and I'm going to be careful with what the Word of God says. We don't know that it was only these women that supported our Lord's ministry. But I can tell you this. The Bible in all the Gospels doesn't say that men supported the ministry. Now, they may have, but it doesn't say so. But it does take the time to say that women supported it. Interesting. The influence of women on the gospel. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you surrendered? Lord, whatever. Mary said, whatever it costs me, whatever I have to endure, whatever, I'm willing to do that. Are you willing to steward what God's given you? These are all things that can apply to our lives, whether man or woman. These are good truths for us to apply. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what you have said in your Word, that it doesn't return void. Lord, we pray this morning that your Word would indeed impact lives. Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know you as Savior, would you please draw them to yourself? Would you help many of the rest of us to be reminded of some of the truths that we need to have? We need to be submissive. We need to serve. We need to steward. We need to sacrifice for you. Thank you for how women impacted the gospel. We love you. In your name we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed.